Welcome everyone, and let's have an amazing podcast with my dear friend Sakar.
Because I'm so convinced that everyone will remember their first interaction with this technology that I'm still convinced will change the world as we know it. Crypto is stealing all of the limelight, but I think the real transformation will come when the entire world goes blockchain. There's a pre-COVID Dubai, there's a post-COVID Dubai. And post-COVID Dubai bought a lot of very, very talented founders with it. Before, you'd have a hard time finding builders and founders in Dubai. I think now you're spoiled for choice. It's called Digital Nation Pakistan. We were working on it actively over the past couple of years. And today it's a bill that's approved by the Prime Minister, by the President, by the Cabinet. I lost my heart to it, wrote my name in blood next to it, left my corporate job, started a company in the space, helped with you know, in partnership with the government, more than 600 companies to move over here. We can proudly say that we are probably one of the most important, if not the most important city or country when it comes to blockchain in the world.
Welcome back, everyone. We have another amazing show today. And today it's really special because today I'm welcoming a very dear friend of mine. So a person that I met when the first time I came to Dubai and experienced crypto industry. So it was way back in 2015. And a very, very dear friend of mine, Sakar Erekat, Secretary General of the Dubai Digital Asset Association. We will discuss amazing things about the early days of crypto in Dubai and the UAE, how the different Emirates actually compete when they try to attract crypto businesses, how Dubai and UAE and Abu Dhabi and other Emirates provided a very clear regulatory framework to attract all the crypto companies, which made today UAE the leader in the crypto industry in the world. Today with my host, Demetrio Zamboglu. Welcome everyone, and let's have an amazing podcast with my dear friend Sakar. Sakar, to tell you something very interesting about our discussions that we had with several people and also several guests on the podcast. When they talk about the person who introduced them to crypto for the first time ever, they usually mention two names.
Okay.
So the first name is Dr. Marwan, which is a very respected person in the crypto industry here in UAE, but globally. Yeah. And very often, your name as well.
Really?
I'm
so happy to hear that.
I'm sure as a
I really didn't think you'd be going there. That's so cool.
It's so many people told me that you were there. Let's say first touch point.
I'm so happy to hear that.
A reason for that, I would say, because of your work, because of your career, how you got into crypto. We are very good friends, and I know a lot of things about you, but I would think for many of our viewers, it would be amazing to hear your story. How did you end up in crypto? How did we end up meeting
anymore.
And where are you now?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me, guys.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And to start me off with a nice fact like this, because I really, what got me into all of this is the belief that this is a transformational technology for our generation. I think that we will remember these days so fondly, just like we do, because by now it's nearly 10 years, right? And we're still here. And unfortunately, what we envisioned hasn't become a reality, right? But we're on the way.
Not yet, but we're definitely getting
slowly
there.
But surely getting there. No, because and with that, I you know, I have all the appreciation and love for this beautiful city of Dubai that got me into this.
Yes.
Because I was researching at the time for the Dubai government new technologies that they can use to make their constituents more happy.
Yes.
To make them more satisfied, to use less paper. And we went on a research exercise, and someone said blockchain. And what really intrigued me, because at the time, look, there was blockchain, there was AI, there was quantum computing.
Can you tell us timing-wise, when was that? I think
so we're talking 14, 15, probably?
2014.
Yeah, probably the conversation started a little bit earlier, but yeah, 2014, 15. Where Dubai already had like a shared service center for governments. So rather than governments going and developing technologies by themselves, they actually go to that shared service center, which today, you know, became the Smart Dubai office. And then today is the Dubai data.
If I remember very well, there was an American consultant doing something with the Dubai authorities here.
American consultant, who do you mean?
I think Consensus.
Ah, Consensus.
Yeah, so when we...
Consensus was here.
Yeah, Consensus at the time when, but this is later. This became 2016. No, at a very early age, it was just, what is the art of the possible? Since before the strategy, because Dubai doesn't just go out and say, give me a strategy.
Yes.
At the time, they were saying, what is this technology? How do we get there? You know, what is the value? And then they called for an RFP that also, at the time, IBM won, and the consensus to essentially provide that open and permissionless. But back to the origin story, I fell in love with it once I saw how transformational and how basic the technology is. Mm-hmm. It's essentially, and I used to say, and I still say, like to say, it's going to do to transaction what the internet did to information, right? And the rest is pretty much history. I mean, this is now, 10, 11 years ago, and I lost my heart to it, wrote my name in blood next to it, left my corporate job, started a company in the space, went on to start multiple other companies underneath that, helped with you know, in partnership with the government, more than 600 companies to move over here. And and then I can help my friend to move over here as well, or at least make it attractive for a lot of my, you know, international connections to then end up here in Dubai. And now I think we can proudly say that we are probably one of the most important, if not the most important city 100%. Or country when it comes to blockchain in the world.
100%.
So if you go a little bit in the past, you finished your university.
Yeah. I did. Maybe. I don't know.
There's somewhere university that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Tell us a little bit about...
Oh my God, you want to go like... So
yeah. How did you appear in this region?
Interesting. So, you're bringing back a lot of good memories. Let me start by the fact of when I arrived here. I arrived here, I never forget it, on the 29th of July... 2008. Mm. 29th of July 2008, which, if you're listening to this, you're not in Dubai, do not arrive in Dubai in July, right? Because I never forget the feeling. And at the time, I came from London, which, you know, when it was 24 degrees, everyone would be topless in the streets, right? I arrived here, and, you know, everything's cool, life is good, you know, you're in the airport, and then the airport door opens, you have your bag, and you're excited to be here. And I never forget that feeling. I felt like someone slapped me in the face with all of the humidity and the heat that that we faced. So I graduated in 2008 from London, University of Greenwich. Studied, jokingly, business and IT. And I ended up spending my entire professional life working in business and IT.
There's another bad degree to have, to be
honest.
It's strong, for sure.
And it was just the right time. And here, all, you know, shout out to my sister, because she is the one who chose that to me at the time. And I came to Dubai because of my sister. Mm-hmm. She was here, and we're all very close-knit family. You know that about me, Anton. And she didn't like being alone in a new city and everything. So I thought, you know, I'll come out here. And at the time, and I think this is the first time I say that on camera, I was buying and selling construction equipment. Yes. So I arrived in Dubai with this big idea to sell construction equipment, because, you know, we had clients in the region. And I was like, you know, another market, it was the best time to be here. Turns out I come in the middle of a financial crisis.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, how is 2008 in Dubai?
There you go. I was 21 years old at the time. I don't know how smart you guys are. I didn't know what a financial crisis even was until I was like in the midst of it, realizing everything is pretty much dying. Right. And I had a friend of mine who said, hey, there's this consulting by degree program in IBM. He's 21 years old, really young, like thinking back. And I applied to it. And again, the rest is history. I joined IBM as a consultant in 21, left them 14 years later, pretty much, to start Crypto Oasis. Right. So that was a fun journey. I lived in, and I worked in 23 countries with them, lived in 9 countries with them, never leaving Dubai, but then always dealing with these fascinating, cutting-edge kind of technologies, and dealing with some of the smartest people in the world. So, you know, I'm one of the few people that left IBM with a huge smile on his face, because I'm really grateful, and I will be grateful forever, for the opportunities that, you know, a large corporation like IBM provided. Suddenly I find myself managing 16 countries in Africa as a 24-year-old. Mm-hmm. I find myself implementing some of the largest implementations in the world of their kind. I find myself researching with the top researchers in the world, working hand in hand with them. And yeah, it's that kind of environment and that kind of learning culture that IBM has that really got me then into blockchain. Because when I joined, and again, you notice I say blockchain, I don't say
crypto. Yeah, I was about to ask you.
I'm one of the few people that didn't join the crypto world because of crypto. Mm-hmm. I joined the crypto world because at the time it was the only proper use case for blockchain.
Ooh.
Right? And at the time, even the government and you know, anyone official you speak to didn't want anything to, they didn't want crypto.
It used to be called DLT.
No, that's the next generation.
That's the next generation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was blockchain, and then you had, you know, things like IOTA, and now they're here in Abu Dhabi as well, coming up with the Tangle, yes, you know, and it was still somewhat a blockchain. It's not a blockchain. It's still distributed ledger technology. So DLT was the next iteration of it. And really, this kind of learning culture that excited me so much for blockchain, because there was absolutely zero learning available. Mm. At the time when
I probably wrote, zero case studies, maybe one or two.
Well, but yeah, there was one I never forget, because you know we used to reiterate them over and over again. That was IBM specific, where IBM used it for their procurement, right? Mm-hmm. Use a blockchain for their
procurement. Was that with Everledger or Hyperledger, or how it was called?
Hyperledger. Everledger was another one of the use cases where it was essentially the Kimberly process on blockchain. That was another one on Hyperledger, of course. And we were in the early days of what was then later on became its own company. That, my God, I'm blanking on the name of the company. Essentially, it was a joint venture between IBM and Maersk.
I think our joint friend Irina Hever worked on that one, or
not sure at the time. I'm not sure, but with Dubai Ports, yep. There were, my God, TradeLens. That's what TradeLens, it was called. Okay. Yeah, TradeLens was another one, but it wasn't called TradeLens then. Right, that joint venture came a little bit later, and I mean, come on, there's so much in the middle. I need to stop because, you know, essentially, I arrived in Dubai as a young child, and you know, by now I would say Dubai became home to me. I have a family here. I moved all of my other family members here as well, and Dubai is really home for us.
Awesome, and maybe you can tell us when we look at more the crypto part.
Yeah.
How was that early days of crypto industry and I'm maybe even saying before we even met, you know, because
yeah, just,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
2016, 15, if you remember, like, can you give us a little bit of taste?
So I remember going on Meetup.
Yes.
And trying to find if there's, you know, when I got really immersed in this, and you know, now I'm writing articles about this, and because again, not writing articles because I'm great at writing articles. I'm actually not. I'm so happy that there's.
Anton is actually not bad in writing articles.
Really good.
I practiced a lot.
You're not bad in writing articles.
I'm an avid reader of everything that you write, and I love it. And I love it. Like even when I prepare for interviews like this on air or with TV or something, it's one of my reference cases always.
Pleasure.
I remember the first meetup I went to, it was like five people in the room.
Can you name them? Can you name them? One was here last week? No, 2 weeks ago?
Talal, maybe, yeah.
Talal wasn't at that meetup. Oh. So
he was actually in Switzerland, to be honest, at that point, actually.
I'll give you the slicker insight. At the time, when I looked up to see who's doing crypto, obviously, Dr. Marwan was there, but again, me and him were somewhat of a government agenda, and no one in the government wanted to know anything about crypto. Okay. It was all about where's the benefit and efficiency, and I think that was the right way to do it. I was an avid supporter of that. Crypto was a little bit of a wild west, and yeah, I could name these people, and some of them are still around, and some of them have left, and some of them have done bad things. But
name just the good ones.
without name dropping. But who was there when I looked up? Immediately, like one of the first people that was there and still is there is Ala Dudin. Ala was by far the first I'm at least aware about locally that was actively working in crypto. And you'd go, actually, I'm not sure if we should mention that, but she was actively, you know, supporting people to actually arrive at crypto. And then you start, again, Dubai is beautiful like that. You start going to events, you start meeting people, but it was a very, very small circle. And until the hype started, which was 17, I guess, no one wanted to hear about it.
Okay.
A handful of people, You know, for example, one of these people is Declan. Declan, I'll call out, mm-hmm. because Declan is a friend. And, you know, he was Declan Strain from Block Delta. He was there very early days. I remember Talal. Talal was, I remember the first or second conference I ever spoke at. It was I think, two Arabs on the speaker list, Talal being one of them, me being the other. Yeah. He was doing some fantastic stuff with Jibreel Network. And then when the hype started, what we know today in Dubai started. Oh, I have 1,000 Bitcoins, I need to sell them. Oh, I have a Ethereum, I need to sell. Oh, there's someone who has money who needs to get into crypto. And in the beginning, I used to take this stuff seriously, right? By now, when I get a call like this, I ignore, and I advise anyone who's listening to this as well, because what I can tell you is that anyone who's in the game, anyone who knows, who has $100,000, let alone more than that, knows where to get crypto properly. Yeah. There's no business there for you to deal with much. And then it got really, really, really hyperactive just before the crash. Because again, right, when it was winter here, or winter in Europe, yeah. and the rest of the world, pretty much the rest of the world, it was summer, it was the better weather, yeah. over here, right? Talk October, October. Starting from October, you suddenly had people from the US showing up over here. Mm-hmm. You suddenly had people from here. Malta was all over the place at the time.
Sure, remember.
Everyone was interested in how to get into it. And the rude awakening was 2018, just the early, yeah. days of 2018, where again, we needed to reiterate to everyone in government that we're dealing with that it has nothing to do with crypto and we don't want crypto. And, you know, back to when we started with Crypto Oasis, which was, I think, 21.
Such a very lovely name if you don't want to do anything about crypto.
Yes,
let's call the project Crypto Oasis.
Later. No, wait, that's much later. I just switched over like 8 years here, right?
Yeah.
Because I said this was 17, 18, and then 21. 20 is actually when we signed with the DMCC at the World Economic Forum.
Yes, I remember that.
Ralph signed with the DMCC at the World Economic Forum. Thinking of this more like Switzerland arriving in Dubai, and then later on it evolved into a Dubai-specific or UAE-specific brand that grew independently with partnerships, of course, in Switzerland.
Yes.
And I mean, the rest is pretty much history, because then, starting from that point, I'm overexposed. So anyone who's more interested, it's all there online. And it was an absolute joyride. Like, I think I lived some of the most amazing years of my life with this technology, which again, makes me so happy that I'm working in it.
Yes. Maybe also to get your thoughts, especially because you kind of mentioned that early on, there was not a lot of frameworks, regulations, laws, and kind of people didn't want to be directly exposed to it. But I do recall, but you need to correct me now if this is, it was ADGM who did first regulatory framework environment for crypto and kind of went out and enabled first companies like Midchains, which one was that? Facet, I think, was one of those early companies, kind of, who offered brokerage exchange services.
Midchains, definitely. Yeah. I don't know.
Facet, I just threw out. I'm not sure.
Matrix was another one that was very early.
Yeah.
And funny enough, if you look, the guy who came up with this is now the CEO of Binance.
Yeah, exactly.
At ADGM, I mean, obviously ADGM is a full team and everything, but the guy that was over, the first guy I met to say, oh my God, this is amazing, even pre the regulations being published, was Richard and his team. So, and it's great to see him now at the helm of Binance. Yeah, so Abu Dhabi, and this goes down a lot because it's always about, everyone's like, Dubai. The UAE is more than Dubai. And Abu Dhabi is probably the key element. I mean, Abu Dhabi is the big brother. Abu Dhabi is the one that in many ways drives the UAE agenda. They are the capital, right? So the capital of the UAE is not Dubai, it's Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
And with that, Abu Dhabi became one of the first in the world to come out with these regulations.
Yes.
I mean, it took a while for them to implement them and practice them. I think it was 20-something. BitOasis, but with that, BitOasis became one of the first to get that license. But overall, it took a couple of years afterwards until people started catching up. Then Bahrain, I think, if I'm not mistaken. ADGM was first. Bahrain was second. Bahrain, I think, gave out the first licensed entity.
This is where Talal was telling us actually that early on he approached Central Bank of Bahrain.
Yeah.
And kind of got the approval to offer services.
Because the Bahraini financial system, so what other people don't know, is Bahrain was the first to buy in the region.
Mm.
Okay.
When you look at financial services institutions, they were all set up in Bahrain. And Bahrain actually won. And by the way, until today, Bahrain is, shout out to my friends in Bahrain, Bahrain is still, until today, one of the highest rated countries for expats to live in.
It's very progressive, I would
say. Yes, it's a very interesting society, very specific to Bahrain. I wouldn't compare Bahrain to Qatar or to Dubai, or, you know, it's a very specific thing in Bahrain. And their financial services regulator was, I remember one of the first large events I spoke at was an Amazon event in Bahrain, right? Mm-hmm. So also Amazon opened their first data center in Bahrain, if I'm not mistaken, at the time. So Bahrain became a very important part, and then later on everyone else followed.
Yes. And today we have our best regulator in the world, VARA.
Of course.
Which I think did strides, you know, did amazing achievements in such a short time period. And also, I mean, to say is one of the key goals, kind of what I have seen in the last year or so, is for the biggest crypto players on the planet to set up shop in UAE.
Yeah.
And many of them actually would get the VARA license, depending on the use case, but the broker-dealer or the full exchange license. And that seems to be a big success story of the UAE.
Yeah. I think having the first specific regulator for virtual assets is a fantastic feat. And I'd like to remind people where this came from. It came from an announcement of His Highness. His Highness said, "We have created VARA."
From the ruler of Dubai.
Yes. Okay. It came directly from His Highness, the ruler, as an executive order. We're creating VARA, which is why VARA is for the Dubai-specific zones, like Dubai mainland, not the IFC, right, and not the other Emirates.
Yes.
I think with that VARA, as you know, I've said that in multiple podcasts, but I like to reiterate it. I'm a big fan of His Highness Sheikh Mohammed and his leadership style.
Mm-hmm.
There's an amazing book called The Sheikh CEO, which I always
discussed it in the last.
We discussed it in the last podcast. Yes, yes.
Who
with?
With Talal or
no, with
Rabi? Okay. With Rabi.
With Rabi, yeah.
Rabi, right? Yeah, I think the Sheikh CEO is a must read if you're in Dubai, especially if you're in business in Dubai. You have to read the Sheikh CEO because it shows you where all of that came from, right? His Highness has such a drive. You know, I always refer to the fact that just a couple of years ago, and maybe even last year, but you know, don't hold me to the date, he won the horse endurance race. This is a man that is well into his 70s, who won a race. And then people say, oh, but he bought it. No, he didn't. Right? Because the people he was up against was the king of this country and the king of that country, not people that you'd say, hey, I'll sort you out in some way or the other. This is a man that has competitiveness in his blood.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I want to be the first. That's it.
Yes.
That's why VARA. Mm-hmm. Right? So I think it's not the least due to His Highness's vision and obviously the wider rulers of the Emirates, and Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed became an avid supporter with his government as well, and the wider rulers of it. We have Ras Al Khaimah now playing, we have Sharjah playing, we have Ad Ajman, the Free Zone is active. I think by now it's the entire Emirates.
Mm-hmm.
But His Highness really loves to be first, loves to sort show that he's there, and I think what he did with VARA is fantastic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The idea in itself and how VARA then started operating. And you know, a lot of people give VARA a bad mouth, or you know, did VARA this or VARA that. But being first is never easy, right? Trying to do something from scratch that's never been done before is never easy.
Now,
right?
Building a regulatory framework, then hiring the right people, putting the processes, the controls in place is definitely a very hard job.
I agree with you, and that's what we all need to keep in mind. All we can say is VARA has been doing, you know, the best job they can, and they bring every one of us. I mean, we've met at VARA roundtables. Sure. They bring you together. They listen to the industry. And remember, VARA, as even before they issued any kind of guidance, they put us all in a room and said, okay, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
You you have X amount of days to respond. And when you responded, they actually implemented that response in there. So I love what they're doing, but I think also by now it's a paradise of, or an oasis of regulatory clarity, right? Yes. You want ADGM, full regulatory framework, the IFC, full regulatory framework, VARA, full regulatory framework.
DMCC?
DMCC. Well, DMCC is a free zone, right?
But still, so, I think falls under.
Falls under, but so I wouldn't call them out there. DMCC was our partner, of course, right. and became, until today, where the majority of the crypto companies, blockchain companies, are housed.
Right. Yes,
that's also a fact that. But no, they're one of the free zones. No, but I'd say also, the regulator in Ras Al Khaimah, right? With Ras Al Khaimah Digital Asset.
RAKDAO.
Yes. I think RAKDAO, another amazing feat, right? And another great ruler over there, His Highness Sheikh Saud, who really has the vision of creating benefit for the wider population in this. And this is what really, drives me when I think about it. People get driven in this space. Oh, I did 5x here and I get 10x here. What drives me in this space is that I was just able to help Pakistan define a strategy that will essentially impact, the entire population of Pakistan in a positive way. It's called Digital Nation Pakistan. We were working on it actively over the past couple of years. And today it's a bill that's approved by the Prime Minister, by the President, by the Cabinet. And that's why I got so excited also when you said, Sakar, the majority of people who we've spoken to, or when we ask someone, they say, Sakar introduced me to this. Because, I just want that. I want people to, because I'm so convinced, and maybe I don't just not just want that, but that already is a huge reward, right? Because I'm so convinced that everyone will remember their first interaction with this technology that I'm still convinced will change the world as we know it. We haven't even started scratching the surface. Everything we're talking about is crypto. Crypto is stealing all of the limelight, right? And I get why, but I think the real transformation will come when the entire world goes blockchain.
But you really believe in Bitcoin, or you believe in all the top 10 assets? How does it work in your in that brain of yours?
I won't comment on, let's say, the top 100, top 10, and there's some amazing ones there. Yeah. But what we can all agree on, and that's anyone in crypto, is that there's Bitcoin
and the rest.
And the rest. Yeah. I think I'm still fascinated by Bitcoin, by the way. Completely fascinated. Like, I did a transaction today, and I looked at the amount of money that moved from one place to the next, and I don't know about you, I've done so many transactions, I still get a little bit of, that feeling, will it arrive or will it not arrive? When I clicked the button, and after I checked it 15 times, and it's impressive to see how it's an entirely new financial services system, right? I also, for example, don't believe in this entire Bitcoin as a reserve currency, or Bitcoin will not be. No, Bitcoin is the one running network for more than a decade, and it's a computing marvel. I forget about the financial services element or the transaction element. It's a computing marvel. It's a networking marvel. Mm-hmm. It's a cybersecurity marvel, mm-hmm. right? And then on top of it, you're now able to transact trillions of dollars on top of it. And there's liquidity for it, right? So, yeah, in my world, there's Bitcoin and there's everything else.
Sounds familiar, Anton.
Sounds very familiar, actually. Talal also made a very interesting point. Kind of it goes very much in line what you're saying, is that in the end, everything will go back to Bitcoin as the most secure, the biggest, and the most liquid network. Yeah, this is kind of, I think it's a very strong argument. And also, the comparison are interesting because we see how the industry is changing so fast, right?
Yeah.
We had a difficult regulatory framework in the US, and then we had the president to be on Monday issuing a celebrity coin, meme coin, however you want to call it.
Yes,
that. Crazy.
So obviously this is more on the speculative side, let's say it objectively, right? But how do you see, because in crypto or in blockchain, these long-term predictions are difficult, or maybe easy, I don't know. But how do you see the near term for UAE and also globally, like I said? Can US now become that crypto
crypto capital of the world. They're trying.
Yes.
And I'd like to see them try. And whatever they're doing, I'm convinced that it will benefit the UAE, not anything else.
Yes.
Right? I've had this question many times before. What do you think when this economy starts or that economy?
So it's more synergy, you think, actually, yeah?
At 100%. I don't think someone will close shop here and go to the US, for example, yes. right now. Although I've seen a couple of examples of that. I think on a wide scale, the US, I have a lot of American friends. And I think the American people are in pockets, really nice, humble, beautiful, well-thought people. But also when you look at US government, I think it's completely broken, right? And this is not me saying it now. The US president says government is completely broken. Bring in a group of businessmen, see if they can fix it. Cool. So for them to then suddenly say we are now the crypto capital of the world, you need to look at things. So why Dubai? Or why the UAE? Three things, and I've said them more times than I can count. Talent, capital, and infrastructure, right? When we look at talent, you're talking about a talent pool of, I think, 3 billion people in a five-hour flight radius. That's in the five-hour flight radius. When you extend it further, I can hire someone from Chile just as simply as I can hire someone locally.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
But I will still argue with you. I will say safety is number one.
Yeah, safety.
This is a well-practiced pitch. Yeah, safety is like the cherry on top that I add at the end. <That's> But no, okay, it's good. Yeah, no, it's of course. Safety is the unique selling point.
Yes.
Because everything you can find somewhere else, maybe, and we can argue, is the US a talent hub?
Yes.
Is Europe a talent hub? Do you have more capital in the US? But where the X factor comes in, yeah, is safety and security. But just to give lip service to the talent capital and infrastructure story, so talented individuals here and immigration here is easier than anywhere else in the world. We've all experienced it.
Yep. Right? Yes.
Second, when we talk about capital, Abu Dhabi is announcing itself as the capital of capital and is doing the name every honor. I love the fact that they called it the Falcon Economy. For everyone that doesn't know, Slucker means falcon. So, I'm very, very proud to have an economy named after me now. But no, in all seriousness, and then the IFC became, I think, I saw a number the other day, I think 7 out of the 10 largest hedge funds in the world are in the IFC. I think 9 out of the top 10 are in ADGM. So capital is here, not just, we used to be where it was local capital, but now international capital has arrived, right? And then infrastructure. Look around here.
Yes.
Look at that beautiful too. And I look out of the window. We're in downtown, so I see a beautiful skyline in front of me, the roads, but also the infrastructure from data centers point of view, right? You have all data centers. You have you're spoiled for local data center choices over here, right? And then last but not least, in infrastructure, the regulatory infrastructure that we spoke about. But the safety and security, Dimitris, and I love the fact that you brought it up, is where I think we become so unique that no one can catch up, right? Yes. Everyone can build data centers. Everyone can reform their immigration policy, although, we know how long that takes. Yeah. But the safety and security we're all blessed to live under, where, no one locks their houses. You leave your car unlocked. When you go to a coffee shop, you reserve a table by putting your phone down.
Yes.
When you lose something, you go back. You get it with a cherry on top, right?
With a smile.
Yeah, I remember forgetting like a folder, in a cafe, and I went to pick it up, and they gave me a little bit of chocolate on top of it. And I was like, okay, cool, thank you. Whereas when I forgot my glasses in Europe, they were gone.
Yeah,
right. So. I always tell the story of a family member of mine losing cash money in Dubai Mall, a decent amount of cash money. Wow. Cash money in Dubai Mall, like one of the most visited places in Dubai. And it came back safe and sound the next day, right? Dubai has safety and security like no other place. UAE, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Ras Al Khaimah, I think this is applicable to all of them. Ajman, Sharjah, I don't want anyone to get upset. Umm Al Gawain, Al Ain, all of them. they're all amazing places.
Yeah.
And I think this is why we will remain to be the top spot in the world.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Do you see new projects in the region? We had this discussion also last week. I mean, is the talent pool building, or they're just working for someone else?
Because so that's changed a lot. Yeah.
So sorry to interrupt you, because also what we see is that you have a lot of Binance as a office here,
yes.
OKX as a, our friends. So, but because you're an insider, you understand the vibe locally on the ground.
Yes.
What do you see? What projects locally excite you?
So I wouldn't want to call out one or the other. I won't do that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But because just to not be a shiller.
No.
But
not too much.
I think the facet of Dubai, I always say there's Dubai pre-COVID, particularly Dubai and then by extension also other Emirates, but particularly Dubai because that's where I experienced it with my own hands. There's a pre-COVID Dubai and there's a post-COVID Dubai. And post-COVID Dubai bought a lot of very, very talented founders with it.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about wealthy individuals, right, that arrived here. I mean, the most millionaires in the world moved here last year. The most billionaires, I think, also moved here. So, but before, you'd have a hard time finding builders and founders in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
I think now you're spoiled for choice,
mm-hmm.
right? It's changed a lot. Yes, of course, there's, I think the last count that we did, there was 7,000 people working in the space. And check out the report on Crypto Oasis, where we actually provide these numbers. And this is not a show, this is for information. So I think with that change, we saw also businesses in Dubai change.
Mm-hmm.
More mature founders, you know, you're not just talking about the university grads.
Yeah.
More mature, you know, people that, well, like me, went through business and were working in a corporation and now actually want to set something up. You have gaming startups that are over here. Some of them I'm really excited about, and I'm an advisor for, who are changing the way gaming infrastructure works. You have some of the leading entities when it comes to fast blockchains, right? Blockchains that are built in a way that transaction can be built out of the UAE.
Mm-hmm.
You have native exchanges. That were built completely in Talal, for example, built this out of obviously the region, but you know, Dubai being a key part. Or
so we see more and more entrepreneurs in the region.
More and more. I mean, we actually ran the numbers, right? Mm. So we said, I should have caught up on the exact numbers, the most recent numbers. But at some point, we were the most amount of blockchain crypto companies in the world. Which is why we proclaimed this being the largest ecosystem in the world. And when I say this, I don't mean Dubai. I mean the UAE, because you'll find amazing... The DTCC, for example, has an office in Abu Dhabi. The DTCC is like the clearinghouse of the world, for all intents and purposes, right? These guys are building stuff here out of the UAE, right? I'm actually pretty proud of that example, because I was... a very large takeover from an international entity, or a purchase or merger, call it whatever, buying a local entity over here. Something unprecedented before, right? I remember everyone was celebrating when Yahoo bought Maktoub, which was the first international company to buy any local company. Maktoub was like a local Gmail, essentially, and then morphed into a somewhat social media news platform, morphed into the first Amazon of the region. Amazon actually then ended up buying their version of Amazon, soup.com.
Yes.
And now we can see this becoming a reality more and more. And again, now circling back, that was not done by chance. It was done very strategically by design. Mm-hmm. The blockchain strategy was, I think, published in 2016, 17, something like that. And then... When the wave hit, just after COVID, when there was a lot of hype and everyone was setting up blockchain companies or crypto companies at the time, the majority of them, and we had a good feeler for where people were going around the world, the majority of them arrived here. And by the way, both of you are a great 100%. Example of that, right? And more people arrived here.
I was going to ask you, I mean, as a continuation of the question, do you see foundations also moving in the region?
Yes. here. I'm not too sure which one. Let's go for the one that's definitely public. So there's a lot of foundations looking at this. Mm. Let's start there. The one that's publicly here already is IOTA.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if we were recording or if it was pre-recording, right? IOTA, again, in many ways, people say it's not a blockchain, it's a distributed ledger technology. It's semantics, if you ask me. They moved their foundation or have another foundation.
And where did they move? Did they move it in Abu Dhabi?
Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
So Abu Dhabi has a clear framework nowadays for foundations.
Yes. And we see, like, again, IOTA being the first big example, but...
I think Hedera also made some announcements. I could be there wrong, but I'm saying stuff that I'm not supposed to say, so we can edit it out later.
Speculation.
Speculating.
I'll plead the fifth, because, you know, I have the pleasure of knowing some, but I'm with that. Let me say it this way. I'm very hopeful for that foundation set up, because I can see more and more people looking at this. And I don't think, so I think we're, just with the Gartner hype cycle, we're off the hype phase of Dubai or the UAE, and we're slowly but surely, and we went down here, which was, what did they call it? The thorough disillusion. And we're slowly but surely now on this plateau of productivity, where you're getting real stuff. You know, someone the other day asked me, oh, but where is the real use case? And I was like, here's one, here's the other, here's the other, here's the other, here's the other. Right? There's countless ones. Are they as far and wide adopted as I'd like them to be? No. Mm. Am I hopeful? And did I realize that we're so early in all of this, man? I think this is one thing that you don't get in Dubai, because there's such a vibe here for blockchain and crypto, and the government is standing behind it. I mean, give me, before Trump, other governments around the world that had this on a national agenda. The UAE has had this on the national agenda. This entire thing is not even 10 years old. I mean, just about now, when you go to the Bitcoin white paper, what was it, 2008, right? Or even 2007, the network went live, 9, right?
Yeah, 9.
Yeah, so 2008 was the white paper. What is that? 15, 16, 17 years, right? How long did it take until it left the nerdy pool and expanded? And now we're asking for this to be wide scale adopted. No, I think if we're really fair and compare ourselves to other technologies like AI, AI's concept has been around since, I don't know, the 40s, 50s, maybe?
The neural networks and everything. Yeah.
Yes.
Conceptually, that's been around. Conceptually, no one ever thought of Bitcoin or a blockchain as it was first implemented with Bitcoin. And we're still so early, right? So I think... I stopped trying to say how long I want this to take, or I think it will take, but I'm pretty hopeful, and I'm still betting my entire life on it. You know, people were calling me, I was like, do you not want to be an AI expert now? You should, you know, switch to AI. No, seriously, right? Because again, what I also don't mention often enough, but at the time when we were strategizing about blockchain, Dubai was already implementing AI.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the projects that that one of our team actually in the next office down from where we were sitting, so we were getting exposed to that as well. And I think AI is super transformational, but it's not me. I really caught the blockchain crypto.
There are AI tokens if you want AI coins.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, so that's more.
Yeah, now we're talking memes and speculations. Yeah. That's
I want to say is that what I feel the big difference between AI and crypto or blockchain, that with blockchain and crypto, it's very much this us against them, and us being good, quote unquote, and them, this legacy, old financial infrastructure.
Yeah.
And with AI, I don't see that. I see that Microsoft and Sam Altman are hugging each other, you know, or sometimes fighting, but they're hugging each other. It's like a, you know, it feels like this legacy. Or, I mean, legacy, but old IT companies, they're in, I don't want to say one thing, but they're together, you know,
right,
somehow playing along, which with crypto, it very much feels like a fight many times to get through what we want to achieve.
Yeah, I think it's also because people are more interested, more intrigued, closer to the topic when it comes to AI. You've been hearing AI forever, right?
Yeah, but it's talking back now for the first time.
Right, now it's talking back. That's the thing. I remember as soon as I entered into IBM, I think a year later, we came out with Watson at the time. And
Watson, one of the biggest bets in the history of computing.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And And you kept hearing it in the news, kept hearing it, and then at some point, bang, now it's talking back, like you said, right? So people were much more accommodating to the idea. Blockchain, by design, demands for the entire world to be transformed, and us moving away from a world that is, in many ways, where value moves through middlemen who make the process more cumbersome, let's not say anything else, right? To peer-to-peer, back to what we were doing as cavemen. You deal with me, I deal with you, pretty much, right? And that's a complete transformation, total transformation.
Sakr, your brother is also involved in crypto. You know?
I got the entire family.
So I think
I'm still working on my brother.
I do have to ask you a question. Yeah. Your parents, you know, some people who are a bit elderly in your family, do they understand what you're working on? Do they come and say, Sakr, I get it? Or are they struggling?
I'll tell you one of my proudest moments was when I, in a family gathering, my father, God bless your parents, is 76, 77? Mm-hmm. He's an old man, yeah. God bless him. In a family gathering, someone asked him, so what did your son do and all of that, right? And he was explaining blockchain through vehicle ownership.
Ooh.
Okay. And I was like, whoa. He's like, oh, yeah, because it's an example I use. And Baba had a Bitfinex account in 2017. He traded through the crash.
Wow.
Yeah. More than me, by the way. I never got much into it. I had a phase. Baba had a Bitfinex account on his phone. And Mama, the other day I did like a sanity check as well. So it's nice to know that I got them to at least get it and that they understand what I'm working on.
Okay. And maybe it's a bit early for your children, but how are you? Are they a part of it? Are they aware of it?
They're aware of it.
What their father is doing. Working on?
So first of all,
they have wallets.
They have wallets, but not that they are aware of it.
Yeah.
Right. That's one thing that as soon as they were born, right?
Yeah.
But what's funny is that, so first and foremost, they think that I'm some dude that just goes on TV and has, because that's what they actually see. They see me on stage. So just now I told them, oh, I'm going to work. He's like, oh, you're going on stage. And I'm like, no, wait, because that's what they consume. But what's really cute is that when they want to be cool talking to each other. I have three children, and the two boys are now in that age where they have their own conversations. They may make no sense whatsoever, but they're having conversations. So when one wants to be cool with the other, they ask him, what's your blockchain, right?
Okay. Strong.
Yeah, so I haven't gone as far as to like go deep in what blockchain, but they do know the word. They do know what it means, and I think they do know what I do. I check in every now and then, and sometimes I get right answers, sometimes I get weird answers.
And I have to confirm that, Sakr, you really are very family-oriented man. I know we were with our good friends from Clicko. They had an event. You were speaking there, presenting it, and leading it. And I remember that
I was supposed to be there.
You were sometimes invitations get lost. But I do remember that you were there with your wife and your whole family, and it really brought special feeling into the event, you know, when somebody brings their family with their children.
Yeah, so
there's
mixed reviews that I've gotten.
Okay.
Why?
Some people, they're like, what are you bringing your children to an event? This is professional. Why are you being like that? But for me, that's it.
Okay.
There is no, you know, people say, hey, what's the line for you? What's professional? What's personal?
I wish I was there because I was invited to the event, but I couldn't go.
Yes, I'm saying, you know, but
we'll have another one. The guys from Click will always do cool stuff.
But we know them very, very well, and we really like the guys.
Yeah, so I think they're doing some fantastic stuff over there. And so because for me, this is personal. I mean, I'm sure I get told by people that it comes across passionate, and how do we instill passion, and how do we become, as if you're not passionate about someone, you can't fake passion.
Yes.
And I'm really passionate for this, and I really believe that this will change the life of my children, so I want them to be there, right? I want them to see it firsthand. I want them to be proud of me.
Hmm.
Although they're five years old and 3 years old and two years old, right?
Of course.
I want them to feel that, oh, Baba is doing something.
You are a real role model, not just words.
Yes, exactly.
What you'll realize when you both soon hopefully will have children,
touch wood,
inshallah, in due time, is it doesn't matter what you say, it matters what you do. Yeah, you can tell them whatever you want, but if you're not practicing it in front of them, they'll never do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Children are fantastic human beings. I think the best part of humanity is children.
Yes.
If it was up to me, I'd have 12, 13, 14 children. I'm negotiating with my wife on the fourth.
Time.
No, my wife is like, I love you a lot, so you're getting another one, but then I'm done. It's like,
how many dogs you have or how many cats you have?
No dogs, no cats.
Ah, there is room there.
Yeah, there you go. So,
Sakhr, we have touched upon a lot of topics, and I think also what maybe for the audience to hear, what are your next plan? What are the events that you're going to attend? Where? Yes. How can people reach you and find you? I mean, we have the honor to have you on WhatsApp and you reply.
WhatsApp is the worst place. Let me say it publicly. WhatsApp is the worst place to get me. Telegram is the worst place.
So in person,
always in person. Okay. My number. And again, I took that from as an inspiration from His Highness. I'm saying in the book, it says, "Who in Dubai doesn't have my number?" And I was thinking to myself, reading the book, and I was like, "I don't have your number." Yeah. but no, to that point, I'm the easiest person to find in Dubai, right? Slacker, ask two people, three will point you in my direction, right? So I'm super open. I'm always happy to help, always happy to support, always happy to guide in the right places. Today, I've been voted in as the Secretary General of the Dubai Digital Asset Association.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's been a while, so thank you. I appreciate it. I'm really passionate about the mission of the Dubai Digital Asset Association. Has been operating for a while, and we have this mission where we want to be the go-to association. We have the pleasure of sitting under the patronage of His Excellency Omar al-Ulama, who is the Minister of Future of Work and AI, and under the Digital Chamber of Commerce.
Yep.
And we're actively there looking to grow the pool of members, looking to interact. We do cool events. Some are on compliance. I realized I said compliance, then I said cool, and then I said compliance. No, well, maybe not the coolest.
The events are very nice, I have to say.
Yeah,
good. Very
and nice. It's generally open invitation to people to join. That's something I'm really excited about. Crypto Oasis is going steady, is going strong.
Congratulations.
We really like Crypto Oasis.
Yes,
thank you. We like you too.
Yes.
And in that, although I'm not operationally involved anymore, it's really nice to see that, it's standing strong and steady. And I'm back to, after doing this, alhamdulillah, successful stint in Pakistan, where we were able to really move an entire government from hardcore this side to here, I'm spending more and more time working with governments again.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I have passion for helping on a country level. I'm very proud. I've helped in the UAE on a country level, on a federal level, in different Emirates, and in India, now in Pakistan, in Korea, and I'm spending more and more time now to help people in these government entities make it a reality, because I firmly believe that government, particularly in the region, needs to drive this for people then to follow.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very optimistic about what's coming. Does that mean on short term I believe that crypto is going up or down or left and right? I don't know. if any one of us knew, then I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe Anton knows the answer, but not in this episode.
I'm sure Anton has some model at home. That's me. But yeah,
accuracy not guaranteed at all.
But yeah, so that's what really is exciting me right now, spending time again more and more with governments and helping them to make it a reality. I've had the pleasure the other day to be with the Central Bank of Oman for a couple of days. They're doing some fantastic stuff. There's multiple different local governments where it's not announced that are actively working on this, and I'm really happy to be part of those.
Awesome. Thank you. I think slowly we can.
I could really continue for another 3 hours.
I think
honestly, we'll keep it. I need to go actually. So yes. Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you.
Me. I really appreciate
for
it.
Being in this episode.
Yeah. You're, I think you, what you've done and the content and the way you drive it is super solid.
Thank you.
So for me, it's a privilege to be a part of this, especially with Anton. That now we're saying that. We're going on 10 years, which in crypto is like a lifetime.
It's a lifetime. And really want to say that Demetrios, myself, are really grateful you
Thank
joined
you.
Us. And it's as a pleasure. You said, you were the first person I met when I first time arrived in Dubai.
Nice.
And really thank you for your friendship,
and
for being with us today. And hopefully we welcome you again as well.
Yes,
in
for
your
sure.
Time to
with
revisit.
Pleasure.
And really thank you for everything, my
I
friend.
Really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.